Yeah, hello everyone. Today, me, Nikita, and my colleague Riti, senior engineers for 10x, want to talk about the confidential computing project to build at for 10x using the latest technology from Amazon called Nitro Enclaves. Now, Nitro Enclaves provides environment to run application confidentially, meaning that no one should be able to tamper with the application while it runs during execution compared to your regular operating system. Or in other words, you know, if your program is quite shy and doesn't want to be poked by the outsiders or something, we kind of provide like a safe environment for it to execute, or a safe space, if you will. Before I start talking about the project itself, I want to give a little bit of context about what parts Nitro consists of. The Nitro system is a Nitro system Nitro Enclaves built on. It consists of three main parts. We have a Nitro hypervisor. That is a combined piece of software and hardware tech which provides CPU and memory virtualization capabilities for the VM. The Nitro chip, which is a hardware tech, it provides a root of trust, which tells you if you're like running a tainted hypervisor or not. And there are Nitro cards, which are responsible for memory encryption. Now, how it looks like from a VM standpoint. As you can see in the picture, we have two parts. We have an untrusted parent VM and a trusted Nitro Enclave VM. They are completely separated, and they run their own kernels. And the Nitro Enclave is the VM that you run your application on. Now, the Enclave and parent VMs, they talk through and can only talk through a socket called VSOC. There is a special socket connection specifically designed to provide a communication between an Enclave VM and the hypervisor. Now, we believe that you know, any program, doesn't matter how shy it is, still wants to socialize with the outside world. So, because, you know, complete hermits are quite rare after all, and it also wants to keep some personal diary with all the data and things it's done, so it can reread it after the Enclave has finished. Now, bare Nitro doesn't provide all of those. As you can see, it has no network capability out of the box and no durable storage. It gives no networking capabilities inside the Enclave, meaning that the application inside the Enclave can't connect to anything from the outside world and vice versa. And for the persistent storage, Nitro doesn't provide any form of that. The kernel inside Nitro VM is running on a RAM disk, and it gets cleared after the Enclave finishes. So all of it kind of drastically limits the number of useful applications that can be run on a bare Nitro. For example, if you want to run like a web server or a database, you can do it on a bare Nitro, but it won't provide much value to the and the user, because the big portion of functionality of those programs just is not supported. And the Salmiak project that we created aims to solve those limitations by providing a confidential program execution environment without sacrificing fundamental systems capabilities. On a higher level, the project looks like this. Fundamentally, it's a Docker image that runs on a VM with a Nitro Enclave enabled. The only required argument that needs to be passed is the Nitro socket here on the right. And after that, it behaves like any other Docker image would. You can start it, stop it, monitor its status, using your standard Docker commands. Functionally, the image can be divided into two parts. One is called a parent and one called an enclave. Those are internal names, not to be confused with parent VM or Nitro enclave VM. The enclave contains a client application as well as a runner program of our creation. Parent contains only runner program and responsible for setting up networking and file system as well as network, enclave creation, its monitoring and termination. And the only communication channel between those two is a VSOC connection. This VSOC connection effectively creates like a confidential boundary between those two parts. Yeah, and shown the architectural overview, I can go further to discuss how we implement networking. SalVNet abstracts networking communication between client application and this outside world, meaning that if someone wants to connect to the application inside the enclave, the only thing one needs is a networking address, so it works the same as you would connect to any other service running on the internet. And the other way around, the application side enclave can connect to anything on the internet. It also needs only the internet address, and the application side enclave doesn't know that it runs inside enclave. The common example of applications would be your common, Nginx web server that runs inside enclave. You can, send web requests to it, and it will answer to whomever. So in details, networking is implemented using a two-part program called VSOC proxy. As you can see, this is also a two-part program similar to parent and enclave on the previous slide. One runs inside the enclave, one runs inside the parent. They're both connected through and only the VSOC. So one of the responsibilities of the parent, and it is an entry point and the startup, is to copy all the necessary network configuration of the network device on the right. This is a Docker network device. Propagate those settings inside the enclave, and the enclave part of the VSOC proxy will recreate said network device or devices, effectively mirroring it inside the enclave. But instead, it will use virtual network device, which is a functionality provided by Linux kernel. It's called tune or tap. This is a functionality to read and write networking packets using program and user space. If you are more interested in that, you can check kernel.org. They have a lot of information about it. So after said devices have been created, both parts of VSOC proxy will start forwarding packets. Parent will forward from, external network inside the enclave, and the virtual device inside the enclave will forward them in the opposite direction. Yeah, sure. So the only difference between those two becomes, effectively the direction they're transmitting networking packets. Said architecture also supports multiple network interfaces as well as a private network between parent and enclave. Private network makes two independent entities between parent and enclave. And it allows us to enable internet protocol between those two on top of the VSOC. This lays the foundation for a file system solution, and this will be presented by my colleague, Aritim. And I'll pass you the mic.
Thank you. Okay, hello everyone. I will dive deeper into how we support persistent file system with Nitro enclaves in our project from EAC. So I first wanted to go over how you actually create Enclave image using AWS Nitro. AWS does provide us with a command line tool, Nitro CLI. It's used for managing the life cycles of Nitro enclaves. You can build an enclave, you can run it, you can check its status, whether it's running or not, how much CPU it's using or memory it's using. And in particular, I wanted to discuss the build enclave command, which allows you to provide as input a Docker image, which has your application that you want to run inside an enclave. And it gives you an enclave image file. And along with an enclave image file, it also gives you enclave measurements, which are later used by the enclave itself to prove its identity and build trust with an external service. That's basically Amazon. So how do we do it different in Somiac project? We don't just create an enclave image file. We create a Nitro Docker image from the input image that we get. So the first step that we do is look at the input Docker image and export the image file system into a block file. Let's call it init image. And we store it into a block file with the help of DM Verity. It's a Linux kernel device mapper tool. It uses the kernel Scriptor API to protect the integrity of the initial input image. So what happens at the time of creating an enclave image is that it creates a hash tree of the storage blocks present in the device, and it ends up giving us a root hash. And we store this root hash in the enclave image file. And we also create another empty block file. Let's call it run.image, and I'll discuss more about it in the future slides. So as you can see here, the input Docker image is converted into a Nitro Docker image, which consists of the block files, the enclave image file, and Photonic software, which is Somiac. So the next step is what happens at runtime, and how do we make these block files which were present in the Docker image inside the enclave. So we use NBD, the Network Block Device Protocol, to be able to serve these block files which are present in the parent Docker container into the enclave. And it's over the network, so we make use of the VSOC proxy that Nikita discussed earlier. So each block file is served through the NBD server program, which runs on the parent side. And they both use different ports on the server. And inside the enclave, we have the NBD client program, which runs. We have two clients which access the server on two separate ports to provide us with two devices. Let's call it DevRead and DevWrite. Okay, so once we have the block devices in the inside the enclave, how do we actually mount it? We use DM Verity. I think I made a mistake here. In the previous slide, I did mention DevRead and DevWrite. I want to change that to DevInit. So we use DM Verity again to open the DevInit device. And when we do use DM Verity, we provide the root hash from the enclave image file. So when DM Verity opens up the block device, it makes sure that the hash tree it constructed at enclave image creation time matches what it finds at runtime. So this way, the initial contents of your client image are preserved. It provides integrity protection this way. And let's say we mount it at a location mount lower. And we have a second device which was mounted as DevRun. So this device is opened using dmcrypt. It is another device mapper tool provided by the Linux kernel. It is used to encrypt a block device. And on the first launch of the application, what we do is we format this device into a Lux2 device and create an EXE4 file system on it. And right now we're using the default cipher, and the encryption key used can either be generated randomly, or you can use an external key service to use the encryption key. So let's say we mount this DevRun device at directory mount upper. So we have two sets of file system layers here, mount upper and mount lower. And we need to combine this and provide it to our client application that we want to run. So we use an overlay mount here to merge the two. And provide it as mount root. So this allows the client application to read verified data from the init image block file, which is presented as mount lower, as you can see. And any changes in the state of the file system during enclave runtime is saved, or the state is saved in mount upper, which is basically the run image block file. And so once we set up the overlay file system, we need to change the root of the file system here so that the client application is unaware of these different layers that we have. So we use chroot to change the root of the client file system. And once we chroot, we also bind mount some of the system directories, such as dev proxies. I think that should give the client application everything it needs to run its application and save any state changes into the block device. And yeah, I think that's all I have. If you have any questions about any of the networking or the file system persistence, you can ask me and Akita about it. Yeah.
Can you maybe talk a little bit about performance? I mean, you're telling everything through the VSOC. Is there any boundaries you hit, or?
I would say we haven't. Okay, the question is, how does it impact performance of the application? We haven't yet measured what is the performance implications of it yet. But this was more of being able to support what was initially not supported by AWS Nitro. Yeah. Any other questions?
We have one of the chats.
Can you read it out?
Yes.
Then it's also on, like, on the screen.
Is this the one?
Yes.
Okay, the question is the DEE architecture of Nitro similar to TDX and SEV? I suppose it is a closed system by AWS only, so how can users verify that Nitro is secure? Do you want to answer it, or should I take it?
Well, if I knew.
Okay. I'm afraid I don't know the comparison with SEV and the other platform mentioned here, but you need to be able to trust AWS. If you trust AWS, you trust the system. Apart from AWS, there's no one else that can access the contents of the enclave.
As far as we know, the Nitro CLI is open. Still in here. Yeah, so as far as I know, I mean, the Nitro CLI is open source, right? But the hardware that the enclaves run on, it's done by Amazon, I don't know, ordered by them, whatever. So you have to trust them for the hardware. Yeah, that's it.